person who's steering the economy, if you imagine he's in a car and he says, we're about to go off a cliff, but he's still driving towards the the cliff in the car.
Yeah.
And he's telling you this.
Right.
Are we in?
We're back.
We're back.
We are back this week without Dave O'Danny. So we've got Henry.
The ragtag crew.
There is the BCM.
We've got Henry and Mikey sitting in today.
We don't get luxury trips to Dubai.
No, sadly not.
Not yet. Not one.
No.
I mean, to be honest, though, the photos of what they're wearing is cracking me up a little bit.
Yeah, you were going in on Danny's shoes.
Oh, I'm sorry, Danny. If you're listening, they're awful.
Yeah.
Well,
I wasn't the only one that saw that.
No, there were a few comments around that, actually.
Wow.
People talking about them shoes.
I think Danny's a stylish guy, and I know where my bread is buttered.
Yeah. I mean, better than Dave, who's wearing
it. It's coming from someone who was described as homeless.
Yeah.
Recently on the podcast. Yeah.
Dave is wearing a full shirt and trousers on the beach. He's not looking homeless anyway.
No. Right. Yeah. Welcome back. Dream team today. Before we start, we're going to try and be a bit more professional on this podcast. So got to do the like and subscribe, please, guys. If you're enjoying the show, it would really, really help.
Why would it help, Molly? Tell the viewers why it helps.
Helps the show grow.
Helps the algorithm.
Helps the algorithm. Helps get the brand out there. Helpful.
We're notoriously terrible at feeding the algorithm. This is our attempt to feed the algorithm.
Yeah. Helps more eyes. It gets more eyes on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We were just discussing before the podcast, actually, with Danny not here, I could do the agenda however I want, but I'm also aware that he's probably going to watch this podcast back, so I'm going to do the agenda.
It's another viewer,
One more usual.
Right. Agenda this week, we got a story about FTX saying they're apparently going to repay all their customers in full. Saudi Arabia officially joins BRICS. Somebody's moved $1 billion worth of Bitcoin for $3 transaction fee. Tether have posted record profits in Q4. This one which I had trouble with pronouncing before. Valkyrie. They're the first spot Bitcoin ETF to divide. FTX ETF. They are the first spot Bitcoin ETF to diversify their coin custody. Jeremy Powell's made some comments about the US. Bukele, he's won the El Salvador elections. Spoiler alert. Spanish Ministry of Finance announces tax reforms, Grayscale outflows, and MicroStrategy announced their plans to be the world's first Bitcoin developing country.
That's a big agenda. We'll probably fly through some of these points. Yeah.
Well, there'll be no arguing in this podcast. You know, it's usually between Dave and Danny, so it could be a turbo pod. Bitcoin price.
Where are we at?
44?
Or 44, eh? Flying at the minute.
God, yeah, because you only printed this half an hour and it's 44.6 on this. Mm. I should know never to read off this. Yep.
Slowly grinding, hasn't it, for the past few weeks?
It's gone back up. Up since last episode, which was 42,000. So, yeah. We're climbing.
Big ol' rise.
Yep. Cool.
Well, let's go.
Right. First topic. FTX says it will repay all of its customers in full, but customers will receive the dollar value of funds held at the time of the FTX bankruptcy, meaning they will receive less than what they would have had if they held.
So I haven't seen any of this. Is it funded from their grace? Because they sold their Grayscale.
I think they're just clawing back from everywhere at the minute, aren't they? Wherever they can, like they're taking back their donations and suing Genesis, and there's also, I think it's any income they're getting in, they're probably going towards this, but it is interesting they've decided not to give back the Bitcoin amount, but the dollar value at the time of the...
Am I the only one that thought that was a given? Like, they didn't have the funds, so how could they give back the Bitcoin value at the time now, not when they filed for bankruptcy?
I think Mt. Gox are giving Bitcoin value back, aren't they? Which is sort of similar situation, I think.
Because they actually held the Bitcoin, didn't they?
Yeah.
Whereas FTX is all just paper Bitcoin.
It's a massive hole somewhere. Yeah.
But yeah, it's crazy that people are getting 16K Bitcoin, but they paid more for it back then, probably the majority of people.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's it. If you had one Bitcoin on FTX when they filed for bankruptcy, you're getting $16,000, not $43,000.
Mm-hmm.
It's a kicker, but I don't know. Did you just be grateful to get something back? Am I trying to be too positive on this story?
I'm not sure there's any positive to that, unfortunately.
No. I mean, it would suck.
I remember because they were trying to relaunch as well at some point.
Yeah, they? They're completely scrapped that now. Yeah. I did see something that like the legal team that are dealing with all this are getting paid like upwards of £1 million a day. So yeah. I don't know how they can reopen that's, when they're hemorrhaging money like that.
That's mad. That's always the way. Okay, yeah.
Hopefully all the, you know, all the customers I lost out get something back at least.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Peace of mind, if nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Nigeria devalues the Naira in a bid to attract foreign investors. You took this.
That was me, actually.
That was you.
Yeah, so they've devalued their local currency again, second time in 8 months.
It's pretty crazy.
Claiming to, you know, to try to attract kind of foreign investment, increase exports, that kind of thing, and kind of restart the economy.
How would that attract foreign investment if they were devalued? Surely that would put people off.
Because entry, everything's cheaper to buy in there, essentially.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you'd have more purchasing power in your
people are holding dollars now, have double the amount of Naira, so they can then invest within Nigeria.
Okay.
So I think their foreign investments dropped drastically. And same with their exports. I think they export crude oil. They've just fallen off the face of the earth, I think. But what really sucks is obviously people living in Nigeria holding their savings in Naira. You wake up overnight and it's halved. Well, 8 months ago, you wake up overnight, it's halved. And then the other day you wake up again, it's half again. So I really, you know, speaks to like Bitcoiners like us, or even even holding dollars over Naira. It's
yeah, well, all these currencies at the minute, they're just getting devalues at such an alarming rate.
Yeah, and even getting funds out of Nigeria is an issue. So I think this article talks about local airlines or even international airlines of like threatening to strike and not fly to Nigeria because they can't get the money out for people buying tickets and stuff.
Wow.
So a bit of a disaster, really. And then to top it all off, they're then seeking a loan from the World Bank again, just to add to the usual issues. Yeah.
So are they doing that because they're seeking a loan from the World Bank, which usually requires those conditions?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So like they may have told them to devalue.
Exactly.
Like,
that's usually what happens.
Yeah. And they're all about exports. Yeah. The IMF and the World Bank. So.
Yeah. Keep them under thumb.
Yeah. So it's sad, really.
Not big news for Nigeria.
You know, these harsh times in Nigeria will hopefully make more Bitcoiners out there. As you know, they kind of, I think people living in these countries maybe understand money better than the Western world because they have to deal with these kind of issues.
Yeah, they don't have the privilege.
So when they're taught about Bitcoin, it becomes more natural to their understanding. And we see good companies out there doing good work like Bitnob and that kind of thing.
Yeah. I was going to say, what's the Bitcoin landscape out like there out in Nigeria? I'm not.
I think it's the biggest in Africa.
Yeah,
there's, I know there's CivKit, which is building over there. There's Bitnob. There's, I'm not sure if it's Nigeria specific, but I know that they go through Nigeria. It's, you can pay people using Bitcoin Lightning through phones without internet.
That's cool. Okay, so it's nice that that's happening. At least they're aware of Bitcoin and hopefully it'll, with situation, as unfortunate as the situation is, maybe it'll help adoption of Bitcoin in Nigeria. Okay. Saudi Arabia, they've officially joined BRICS. Although, I think there's conflicting information because when I was having a look at this, Reuters were saying that Saudi Arabia's not joined BRICS, but they've also they also published an article last month saying that they had done. But yeah, the information I could find that said that Saudi has yet to confirm that it wants to join BRICS.
There's always no sources on these random tweets where they say breaking
news. This was a Saudi official source, apparently.
Oh, was it?
But what was interesting is, well, when I looked into this, Saudi Arabian military has actually recently signed 11 agreements with the US for weapons, which is kind of the opposite direction of joining BRICS.
Yeah, right? BRICS probably wouldn't be a big fan of that.
Yeah.
I imagine.
So.
Yeah, I think we talked about this, that weapons deal maybe a few months ago now, because when the stuff in Israel kicked off, that was threatening the deal with Saudi weapons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't know. Everyone's saying they've officially joined, but I'm not entirely sure that they have.
Conflicting reports.
Conflicting.
It's seen BRICS grow, though, and obviously we've talked about before them trying to launch their own kind of currency within the BRICS group.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which we've only seen high level like announcements on that, nothing in detail.
No.
Mm. Yeah, so there's the 16th of January post saying that they haven't.
Okay.
Officially joined.
But this is on the 31st, this one, it's the 31st. So.
But it's interesting to watch the kind of world power struggle of like, obviously the dollar and the US are very much the dominant force in the world since I've been alive, since we've been alive. And this is very much trying to be a threat towards that.
Yeah.
I do wonder if it's a move of confidence or if it's actually a move of weakness. Mm. And all these countries are actually struggling, so they're coming together to try to have an alternative to the US dollar when it can
survive. But hopefully Bitcoin can be the peace maker in the middle.
Hopefully it absorbs all that.
Okay. This next one's just a very short talking point. But I always think it's cool when it happens. So somebody moved $1.5 billion worth of Bitcoin for a $3 transaction fee. So that's 35,000 Bitcoins.
I didn't even see that.
That is pretty impressive.
Like I know it's quite a common occurrence now, but I took a look back at the first time anybody ever moved over $1 billion. And that was September 13th, 2019. And at the time, the single transaction was 94,000 Bitcoins, so over double of what's been moved now.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, it was around 0.5% of all Bitcoins in circulation. Mm. But I just think that's amazing. The amount that you can move for such a little fee.
I mean, you've got to, every time I see these, you just compare it to the traditional banking system, don't you? If you tried to move 1.5 billion.
Yeah.
Well, first of all,
And to get it within Bitcoin, if it's confirmed within a block within 10 minutes, that is just highlights the true power of Bitcoin.
Yeah, I mean, what I'd like to know that is a percentage fee, the $3.21 off 1.5 billion.
We see it more and more now, but it's still, I still think it's amazing every time it happens. So
it's only going to get more crazy as well, probably.
Yeah.
Well,
2 billion next.
Yeah.
But it also showcases these big holders, whether this was a company or not, is they truly understand the worth of Bitcoin and they're not even overpaying. Even if you send in 1.5 billion, I think in the past we've seen them, they still might pay a really high £300 fee or whatever, just in case. But to do it at, 30 sats a byte? That's pretty low, that.
30.1, yeah.
That's cool.
Mm. That was cool. Okay, Tether, they posted record profit in Q4 of $2.85 billion. Said it was driven by T-bills, treasury bills.
That's pretty mad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think over 1 billion of it was treasuries, US treasuries.
Oh, wow.
I think they are the 16th largest holder of T-bills.
Yeah, we were saying that last part, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is crazy. It's actually crazy.
It's more than most countries, isn't it?
Did $2.5 billion profit Q4 2023. So for the whole year, they did suit $6.2 billion.
Yes.
So I ran some numbers. It was kind of happening on Twitter as well. A few people tweeting about it. Of like, a lot of companies like to measure their kind of revenue per employee as like a good kind of KPI. So I think in the tech sector, I think Apple have the highest. It's like they're $2.4 million per employee in revenue.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at Tether, that's not even right. If you look at profit from Tether, they only have like 50 employees. So it's over $100 million per employee.
Wow.
Yeah.
They might have the highest employee to revenue rate ratio of
in the world
company
of all time.
Me and Danny were talking about it, trying to think of others. And it's like, maybe, what did we think of? Maybe Minecraft when it sold? Because they have like three developers.
Notch will have had a good payday.
But like as a ratio, Apple are 2.4 million.
Wow.
Tether are over 100 million per employee.
It's big numbers.
They're just, I mean.
It's interesting how, the US Treasury will become dependent on well, potentially more dependent on Tether as their main T-bill buyer and they're actively doing their job.
Yeah.
It's like, it's really ironic.
Yeah, you know what I mean? The irony is funny. I'm excited to see how much they grow from being the 16th largest. Mm-hmm. I think the largest is Japan, is it?
The thing we looked at is Japan, then China. UK were like 5th or 6th.
Yeah, so like the top 10 are all countries, not even companies.
Yeah.
So I'll be interested to see what the largest company owner is.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Crazy.
Mad.
Valkyrie.
Valkyrie.
You got it.
They become the first spot Bitcoin ETF to diversify their coin custody. Take that.
So what does that mean?
So this is cool because we've talked about ETFs a lot and ETF custody a lot. Obviously all the applications were mainly using Coinbase custody, except Fidelity, who were custodying themselves.
Yeah.
And then another one who was using Gemini. Can't remember who.
Can't remember.
So Valkyrie have become the first one to kind of diversify them from just using one custodian. So they've gone from Coinbase to Coinbase and BitGo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they've just split who's holding it.
Yeah. So they're still retaining the Coinbase one. Which is good because if you're not going to do it yourself, Fidelity are doing the best thing because they're self-custodying their Bitcoin.
Yeah.
But if you're going to rely on third-party custodians, you may as well diversify across several. I think it's maybe analogous to like having large companies have multiple bank accounts everywhere where they store all their money. It's similar to that.
It's just the classic not putting all your eggs in one basket.
Diversifying risk if Coinbase, you know, get hacked or BitGo get hacked.
Well, I was thinking at the minute of like, there's so much responsibility on Coinbase's shoulders at the minute with all these
now. Like, exactly.
If something bad happens to Coinbase, everything's going to crumble around it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get like bugs in Binance's code and stuff like that happens with Coinbase. So, very interesting.
We know how often Coinbase go down as well in a good old bull run.
And I think these ETFs aren't covered by their custodian's insurance. I know some of them aren't. I read the text.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I saw it on Twitter. So if they do go, if Coinbase lose all your ETF Bitcoin,
you're fucked.
Do you have a claim on it?
Gone.
Yeah. Oh.
That's quite scary.
But then do the ETFs themselves have some insurance?
Or? Don't know. Doubt it.
Mm. No, I don't enter all of it. You know, it's like FDIC insurance. You get like almost nothing back.
Yeah. So that's cool to see. I suppose it leads on to this one up here.
Oh, why are you going
back?
Which
we said we were going to come back to.
Oh, I didn't even see that at the top there.
We were looking at
it. We're actually going to come back to something this week.
Yeah. So, Henry,
I made it count with all.
We were looking at all the on-chain addresses for all the ETFs and kind of trying to get an eye on them after we saw, who was it? Bitwise was the one address?
Yes, I think it was Bitwise because we were saying how like good it was that they shared their public address, but then
but then they used a legacy address, holy sig.
Well, people were over collateralizing them, weren't they? They were sending them extra Bitcoin.
Yeah, it's just hilarious.
Yeah.
So most others though seem to be using what we call three addresses or BC addresses. So the ones that start with three or BC.
Mm-hmm.
Say they're obviously a lot more better because three address can be a multi sig address. So that's obviously the first level of security for me is have some on-chain multi-sig.
Mm.
So it takes multiple parties to move Bitcoin. And also the BC ones, it's SegWit, so it's, you know, saving on-chain space, that kind of thing. But I assume they're all Coinbase ones anyway, because Coinbase are custodian for most of them.
Yeah, like, I wonder if they have any say, like, did Coinbase explain these different types of wallets they have? And they're like, oh, we can give you this one with more security.
Yeah, honestly, I don't know, maybe, yeah.
If so, why would they ever choose the one address over a three address?
Yeah, I'm not sure if each ETF has its own kind of deal with Coinbase on the process of custody. I'm not too sure.
But yeah, interesting. We came back to it anyway.
Yeah. There we go. Living up to promises. That's all we do.
That's cool. Jeremy Powell, he has said the US is
Jeremy.
I just realized.
Jerome. Kyle.
Jerome.
Like
Powell.
I think it's Jerome. Yeah.
Jerome. Called him Jeremy. It's been a long week. Jerome Powell. I didn't say Kyle. I said
Powell. We said Kyle.
What's he doing, Jeremy?
Last week, apparently called Corey Curry. The US is on an unsustainable fiscal path. The debt is growing faster than the economy. I mean, he's not wrong.
No. Yeah. I mean, I just took this one because I thought it was quite ironic that someone's like person who's steering the economy, if you imagine he's in a car and he says, we're about to go off a cliff, but he's still driving towards the cliff in the car.
Yeah.
And he's telling you this is just... So,
it's like, what can you do about it?
Yeah, it's an interesting place to be. It just feels like kick the can down the road sort of thing, where he'll just pass it on to someone else.
Yeah, he's aware of the issues and the long-term issues of what's going on, but he kind of selfishly will just kind of kick it down the road.
So. I don't know if he has a choice not to in some ways, but yeah, it's not looking good.
No, would not want to be in that car.
No. Not with Jeremy Powell.
Bitcoin is the answer to escape that car.
Bitcoin is in half cars.
Bitcoin's a supercar. No driver.
Bukele, he won the El Salvador elections with 87% of the vote, which is the biggest landslide ever in a free and contested election.
Yeah, it smashed it, didn't it?
Yeah. I think we knew it, didn't we? I think we spoke about it on the podcast like a couple of months back, but... You can't. I know he has. He is, but
yeah, I still maintain issue with the fact that he changed the law so he could run again.
Yeah,
but
he could have just had someone else from the party run his term, and then he could have run the one after again. Yeah. It's only consecutive terms. I think they have an issue with.
But you can't say anything about his support and what he's done for the country.
Yeah,
just reducing crime, increasing tourism, Bitcoin.
Yeah. Well, that's it. It's positive for the continuation of Bitcoin, isn't it? Yeah. So. I mean, what would have happened if somebody else had come in? Would they could have shut all the Bitcoin stuff down, which would have been quite upsetting to watch.
Yeah, well, in an ideal situation, you have like his party is a bunch of the same minded people.
It doesn't matter
who's in charge.
Yeah.
As long as the idea is the same.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. I've got absolutely no idea what these other people, like what their policies were. Like, are other parties in El Salvador worried about Bitcoin, or do they think it's actually a positive now as he sort of won the other parties over?
I don't know, but also just look how cool he is. I saw somewhere he was described as the coolest.
He describes himself as the coolest. I read that quote as well, but he describes himself as the coolest dictator ever.
Yeah. I mean, the other two just can't compete.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well done to him. That's good news for him.
Yeah. Interesting to see their four-year cycles, their election cycles as well.
World's coolest dictator.
Sounds about right, actually, yeah.
I wonder what the next 4 years holds for him in El Salvador and Bitcoin there.
Wonder if
whether he'll run again after this 4 years.
If the people want it.
It'll be Max Kaiser next.
God,
can you imagine?
It's good to see a country, kind of thriving from where it was, though.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly, it's really turned around.
Yeah, much better than getting in bed with the IMF, anyway.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, this is a heavy one. I have no opinions on this.
No opinions.
Spanish Ministry of Finance announced tax reforms that will give financial organizations, including crypto exchanges, the power to seize assets to pay off tax debts on behalf of the government.
Yeah, so I took this one. I mean, it's not surprising that the Spanish government obviously wants this authority. Mm. I just think it's interesting to see it in a headline because most people aren't aware of a lot of the laws around them. And yeah, this is basically just saying, if you have your crypto with an exchange, the government can go and take it if they want to, for whatever reason they choose.
I mean, it's massive fuel in the fire of self-custody, isn't it? This is why you should self-custody.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah.
I thought Spain were quite progressive in terms of Bitcoin stuff. Maybe not.
Well, everyone wants to be a crypto hub, so they have all the business, but then they want full control over it.
Yeah.
So they want to
make sure you pay any tax.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, pay your taxes, but also maybe self-custody.
Yeah.
Just in case.
Quick and easy one then. Grayscale's outflows. This was you.
Yeah. So we talked last week, actually, about how they're slowly reducing the amount of outflows daily for Grayscale. And we predicted this week might be the flipping, but not quite. So I think yesterday the outflows were 81 million. I think last pod they were like 200 million a day outflows.
Interesting one now.
Yeah.
So maybe next week it might be, they might have net inflows.
Yeah. Hopefully. Hopefully everything is slowing.
This is one we should come back to each week.
Yeah. And then all the ETFs together had net positive flow of 145 million yesterday.
I wonder if that's why the price is going up.
I was just about to say that.
Mm-hmm.
That would be interesting.
Once all the outflows have come out of Grayscale as well, and then we just see net positive flows every day.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be fun.
Price will start reflecting it instead of just stable coining.
That's a really interesting graph, actually.
Yes, and this is Grayscale's outflows versus everyone else's inflows, is it?
Yeah.
So I think Grayscale, at the end of all this, when they do hit when they hit positive inflows again, they're still going to be by far the biggest holder. So their tactic of not reducing their fees and just letting the outflows happen.
And let the volume speak for itself.
Which is kind of what we predicted might actually come true.
Stay tuned. We'll do an update on the next podcast on that. Okay, last one. MicroStrategy. They've announced the plans to be the world's first Bitcoin development country.
Company.
Oh, company.
Yeah, was this Sailor on the MicroStrategy Q4?
Yeah.
So I just thought this is interesting because I think this is going to be quite similar to the whole ETF buying off core devs. Like, I think you're going to see lots of other players trying to, especially if you've got a stake in Bitcoin like MicroStrategy do.
You've got a
lot of reason to try and make Bitcoin as workable for you as possible and make it as good for your shareholders as possible. So,
I watched a little 1 minute clip and it looked like he was making comparisons to ETFs, wasn't he, and ETPs.
Yeah.
More like as a, this is the reason why you should buy MicroStrategy shares instead of buying a spot ETF.
Exactly.
Yeah. Trying to poise himself as the good alternative for the evil ETFs.
I think they're working on something as well. Because you remember, I think it was a year ago they launched.
They did the Lightning stuff, didn't they?
They did the Lightning address stuff. So MicroStrategy email addresses were also Lightning addresses. Michael Saylor had his email inbox where he could see his tips coming in and his emails coming in. So they're working on cool stuff like that, I suppose, in the background. But they're very much, this seemed like a position themselves as a better kind of investment than an ETF.
Yeah.
Because you just buy shares in MicroStrategy.
I wonder if they're positioning themselves away from a software company and into a Bitcoin custodian development company.
Yeah.
Because it feels like they're spending a lot of time on Bitcoin stuff. I'd actually forgotten what they do.
Yeah, I forgot what they started off doing.
doing real life.
Yeah, they do data analysis, don't they? But they've been public since the 90s.
Yeah, I think it's just a Bitcoin play, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think you're investing in MicroStrategy.
On the subject of, they bought more Bitcoin yesterday.
Oh, yeah, I did see that, yeah.
So. It was another 850 Bitcoins for $37.2 million. Oh, no, it wasn't yesterday, though. It was in January, I think. So, yeah, they now hold 190,000 Bitcoins, which is
gotta try and compete with the ETFs.
Yeah,
probably 1% of the actual supply. Everyone's talking about they have to get to 210,000, but I think they might already
be considering all the ones that are missing and lost forever.
Yeah, there's available supply.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
this is it now. This is what we kind of predicted for years. We'll only have a certain amount of years to front run the corporations. Mm-hmm. Now with ETFs, MicroStrategy.
See, that makes me nervous because. Now I'm worried I don't have enough.
Every Bitcoin.
Everyone who has Bitcoin thinks they don't have enough, I think. Yeah, I've got that fear.
It's scary. That's the end of the agenda. We actually flew through that quite quickly, didn't we?
I've got a mining update.
Have you? I've got a...
Lovely and warm in here, yeah.
I actually said it was toasties quite toasty. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I posted a picture of the miners on Twitter yesterday. Oh, yeah. People were loving them.
Yeah. They have been really good. So since the last episode, we found one block.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Oh, nice.
One block at Ocean, so we got a share of that.
Nice.
Ocean's hash rate fairly consistent. Oh, so it's Swan.
Yeah.
So it's 1.24 exahash still. Interestingly, though, there's a few drastic drops in it. And then it kind of drops for a day and then comes back up.
Okay.
People are predicting...
Spikes here?
Yeah.
Like a stable coin.
Yeah. People are predicting these drops in hash rate are like a Swan or some other big miners... As soon as there's a big ordinal mint or BRC20 mint and the fees are going high, they move away from Ocean to a different mining pool because obviously they can get more fees then at a short time because Ocean are less likely to mine one of those blocks.
Yeah.
And Ocean also filler it out by default. So it's an interesting kind of hash rate play from some of these miners.
That's smart, yeah. Actually directing your hash rate. It's like Dave Snipe mining, really, isn't it?
Yeah, but it doesn't help. We want it all at Ocean as much as we can.
Yeah. It's mad how much that dipped, though. Who's that?
Yeah.
That's a big player, that.
Yeah. That's basically the whole of Swan as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy. That's just us at the bottom then, is it?
Yeah, we're the only ones.
Here we are.
That's true.
Nicer, that's smart.
One more block.
How many blocks have we found in total so far?
Ocean have found...
How many have we found been a part of?
Same blocks found 11,641.
Yeah, but scroll up. That's because they were running in 2017, yeah.
Alagos.
Oh, trying to turn something here, mate. Sorry.
Yeah, go down. Go down. Oh, no. Scroll up. Click on the thing at the top, like the banner. And then scroll down past this bit. Yeah, blocks found. Okay. So since they started back up running in December, how many have they found?
6 or 7 of it.
Yeah. Yeah, since then.
So,
yeah.
Well, ten or eleven. We've been a part of four.
We've been a part of 4 or 5, yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, good job, guys.
Got in there.
And we're nice and warm.
We are tasty.
We are actually really.
And we've got a few more miners to turn on as well, so our hash rate, you'll see a spike in that.
Watch out, Swan.
I'll let you know next week. You should see it yourselves, but...
But we'll highlight it, yeah. Point it out just in case.
Yeah.
That's nice. Really cool. I was going to mention Spitting Feathers. They are a UK merchant who are now live accepting Bitcoin. You can buy beer with Bitcoin. The website's pretty cool.
They're kind of like UK craft beer, aren't they?
Yeah. Beer's not my area of expertise, so I wouldn't drink any, but the website looks cool.
I've seen you drink a pint. Don't lie to them. Don't lie to them.
Just love a lager on a weekend.
Stella and a hard Brexit.
So go and show them support. They deliver all across the UK. You know what? I'm scared to say this, just in case we might get it cut out.
What's going on?
But if you've got this far in the episode and you're enjoying it without Danny and Dave, then comment best podcast ever, and I'll pick a person and send a gift pack to.
Wow.
I know. I feel
wow.
Nervous saying that might get edited out.
Oh, it's clever putting it at the end though, because Danny and Dave will never hear that.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. And also, if anybody has got this far, then we really appreciate that support.
Yeah.
So they deserve it.
Thank you. I think this is when nobody leaves a comment. Just realize nobody will watch till the end.
Yeah.
Like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe.
Say that now, don't we?
All that jazz. Is there anything else that we have to now add at the end?
I don't think so.
No. Like and subscribe. Tell your friends.
Mm-hmm. Buy some beer.
Yep.
With Bitcoin.
If you like the beer, let them know you like the beer.
Yeah.
Let them know you like Bitcoin. Maybe we can get a Bitcoin beer going.
I think they were saying on Twitter they had a few orders from Bitcoiners, so yeah. They probably would be open to something like that.
Might reach out actually and see if they'd be down for a Bitcoin beer. That'd be cool.
Sponsor a Bitcoin beer.
Yeah. Awesome.
Nice.
Cool.
Look at that, no drama.
Like, how fast was that? I feel like it was like 10 minutes.
It's over half an hour.
It's amazing how much arguing bulks out a podcast.
It's just Danny and Dave ranting.
The ranting. Yeah.
So clinical with the news is.
Right. Well, they'll be back next week anyway.
Mm-hmm. But
nice.
Thanks, guys.
Cool. Yeah. Stay classy.
Thanks, Mikey.
Stay classy.